All right, so this is the Facts Don't Matter podcast. It's me, Adrian Stewart, my cousin, Anthony Williams, and my brother, Ian Scott. We just get on here and talk about general topics, usually what's going on in the community or the world today. First thing that we're going to talk about is Jussie Smollett. He was recently found, well, I shouldn't say found, but he was arrested and charged with basically faking his own beating. So he's obviously going through it right now. So, Ant, what you think about it?
Well, based off of, okay, I'm trying to think of everything we said yesterday. Picking up from that, like I said, I've been wanting to hear some feedback from some of the stars on Empire. Finally heard back from, didn't hear back, but I finally heard from Terrence Howard. He's actually standing behind him 100%.
What?
I mean, that clearly shows we can't cancel him, because I mean, the guy needs help. I mean, he's come out and said that he now all of a sudden he has a drug problem. I feel like he's going to continuously go out with more excuses until somebody feels sorry for him.
Like I said,
especially if he's
someone posted 100K bail.
We were having that conversation yesterday, and I was saying the same thing, which is I can't give anybody a pass. The reason being, if your people were with you and they knew about your drug problems or mental health issues or whatever, then one of them should have stepped out and said, but they're letting this ride the same as everybody else is. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not buying your, you know, drug issues or mental health issues or whatever issues you want to sit there and bring up to try to make this seem like we should be more forgiving. You lied. You did it for money, and you know what I'm saying? That's that.
Yeah, I mean, yo, honestly, man, listen, this dude ain't no mental health issues gonna fix this. He's the only nigga I know. He's the only American I know to scam Nigerians. That's an intelligent nigga right there, son. He knew what he was doing. Yeah, I caught him. It would be all right. Like, yo, let that nigga go.
Well, Chicago police, they released that statement this morning, actually, that says the checks that he gave them was actually for personal training.
And the reason that they're saying that is because Nigerians are saying that. They're the ones who said, hey, this $3,500 that he gave us was for training. It wasn't for the actual, staged assault or whatever. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's obviously more to the story than what we're getting from
of course.
Because I've never seen a case swing so far in two different directions. Because at first, like, everybody was riding with him. Everybody wanted to believe him. People were caping for him. And now that some of the information has come out, it's like the pendulum has swung in the completely opposite direction. And now everybody's against him. He's guilty, you know, cancel him, throw him out, you know, throw him out to die, et cetera, et cetera. I think that it probably meets somewhere in the middle. I don't think that there's no way that you can convince me that Jussie's hands is completely clean in this, but I don't think that he's as guilty as people are making him out to be. I think that there's obviously something more to the story than what we're hearing.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
I think
more is coming out as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we keep finding out more. Like, for instance, the $3,500, we thought it was to pay the Nigerian dudes to do this beating or whatever. And now here it is, we find out that that's not the case. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
there's always going to be portions of the case, because at the end of the day, it's still an ongoing investigation. So some of the information is going to be made public, some of it's going to be private, and media outlets are so quick to try to get the scoop or be the first ones out with information that a lot of times you get false information. You know,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Off topic real quick. Let me ask you a question. Due to the fact that Charlamagne has made it greatly aware of mental health and Black people needing to seek counseling and stuff like that for their mental health and anxiety as well, do you think this will become the excuse to everyone's craziness at this point? Every celebrity that gets caught with their pants down and stuff like that is, oh, I got a mental issue, and now it's okay for Black people to speak on it.
No question.
Yes, I wholeheartedly believe the thing is this new scapegoat, and it's like, it's like a get out of jail free card.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I really think. And honestly, like, and it's funny, it's fucked up, like, even I was listening to Joe Budden podcast, and they called, they're like, yo, do not bring that mental health shit around here, yo.
That's like that pleaded sanity crap.
That's what I'm saying. My thing, I mean, there's people really out here suffering. And if he is suffering, then God, like, yo, God bless him. I wish him the best. But people, there are some people that out there that truly do know how he's feeling, what he's doing, what his intent was. And, like, honestly, he just, it just looks bad. And, yo, give it up, yo. Like, go die on Empire real quick. Go kick off the show. Hey, and go get another
movie. I was just saying last night, it'll be hilarious. That's just my crazy sense of humor. It would be hilarious if Empire reenact his entire attack, and that's how they killed his character.
Oh, and please, yo, and I cannot. Yo, hold on.
The amount of niggas
going in to see that shit. I'm gonna keep it 100. Time out. I bet you, Law and Order's already.
Yo, oh my god! Of course,
I promise you, they are cooking this up right now.
No question.
Of course.
And it was like I was sitting here having a conversation the other day, and I was telling them, I'm like, yo, like there's no way there's not gonna be a story, like a Lifetime movie behind this.
Oh, of course. Yeah. They just probably gonna change the narrative to probably like an actor or a singer or something like that.
Facts.
Yeah, so
I'm saying, yo, you gotta it's definitely gonna be something.
No question. And I mean, going back to the whole mental health thing, at the end of the day, you know, people are putting themselves in position to really use this as a tool to get, like Ian was saying, get out of jail free for anything. And it's going to put people in positions where, especially we as Black folks, have always been considered to be the strongest. What I mean by that is that white people and other cultures as well just expect us to be able to take anything. Mm-hmm. And when you have integration and you have and things of that nature, adopting other people's characteristics. And this is something that in the Black community has always been considered, mental health has always been considered to be white people problems. Like, we ain't got time for that. We got to do, we got to make our money, we got to do this, that, and the third. We don't have time for it. So we're moving into an era where Black folks are starting to deal with some of those old pains and some of those old hurts. Things are coming out, and they may not come out in a traditional way that we expect. We've been through a lot as a people. Mm-hmm. So now that we have that opportunity to actually sit down and discuss it and talk about it, it's going to be a whole lot of things that are coming to light. Like, for instance, this whole R. Kelly thing. Like, you know, we've discussed on many occasions how, you know, 20, 30 years ago, this was pretty normal, and it's still very normalized in the Black community, where you always got like an uncle or something like that that's been touching up on all the little girls in the family. And instead of beating the uncle half to damn death, they'll just sit there and be like, oh, well, just make sure you stay away from him.
Yeah.
No, you don't stay away from him. You whoop his ass and go get him whatever mental health help he needs. Go lock him up in a padded room until he get it right. Mm-hmm. But there should never situation where you're shielding kids away from family members, knowing what that family member is, which brings us to our next topic, which is obviously R. Kelly.
Oh yeah.
Pop.
Kel. You know they did. All right, so you know they denied his bail, right? I mean, no one got money.
No one bailed him out. Yeah, he ain't. I mean, he got to come up with 100K. And we were just talking about this one yesterday. You know what I'm saying? That 100K is tough to come up with when you're not getting streaming services anymore and things of that nature. And people were getting upset with the spike that his streams and whatnot saw when this documentary first aired. The reason for that was very simple. Most people don't even know R. Kelly's music.
There you go.
So they were just trying to find out. Like, they were streaming the music, just trying to figure out, like, yo, what is all the hype about?
Yeah, who's this guy?
That's kind of died down. You know what I'm saying? He's still not, he wasn't streaming for a while. I mean, can anybody name R. Kelly's last hit?
J.K. Kelly, not guilty.
This guy.
That was
his last hit was with Lady Gaga.
Okay, so you're talking about a hit with Lady Gaga, and Lady Gaga pulled the song. It's her song, and she pulled it.
That was on her album. No, that was on both their albums. That was on the what's that? The Penny Chocolate Penny album, whatever the album he had.
A year is short. I figured out a year.
But regardless, you know what I'm saying? If she pulled it, then that's definitely some of the strings, because people were probably putting in Lady Gaga's name looking for the song and not R. Kelly's. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of how it's working out, his streams are definitely diminishing. Mm-hmm. This dude is definitely not getting the looks that he used to get as far as being on people's albums and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Money. And when
I would assume though he's written so many songs that like all that stuff should, all that money should kind of pour in from you know, from, I guess I don't know what royalties are, but he's written a lot of records too, B2K and all them niggas and.
Oh no! The money still comes in residually, but you have to understand that he's still running an empire of pain. Mm-hmm, like true. You have a house where women are being kept as your personal sex slaves. You got to feed them. You got to clothe them. You got to run the house. You got to keep security because you're trying to keep them insulated from the rest of the world, and you have to keep them wanting to stay there. So now you got to sit there and take them on trips, etc.
Yo, do you think that, I mean, his lawyer went on TV saying like, yo, he's not even making money from I Believe I Can Fly anymore. Like, he's literally on TV saying that right now.
I believe. When was the last time you played I Believe I Can Fly?
I don't think I ever played that song.
In fifth grade?
I don't think I ever played that song.
I'll play that song.
When was the last time you were on Ignition?
You know what's funny? I play fucking with him and Biggie more than I play any R. Kelly song.
Right, but that's a Biggie cut with Kells on the track.
Yeah, that's
how I mean, yeah, you know
Kells song I'm
Kells.
Gigolo Nick Cannon.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's a Nick Cannon song with Kells. So I mean, like, you know, as far as just like straight up Kells songs. Like his staple hits,
like by himself,
checking for him no more, and I think that's where people have that disconnect, because he hasn't really put out any major hits that are banging anymore. Like nobody, and yeah, like you might listen to "Step in the Name of Love" if you at a wedding or something like
but
that.
He did those songs on purpose though, like the you know, off topic. Well, not really off topic, but those his last albums from like Chocolate Factory on up. All put out there so he can try to get a residency in Vegas, which would have happened. Came forward.
I can see that happening. Ooh. Absolutely.
Damn, I know.
And that's the transition. That's the move.
Yeah.
Like when you get older and you're no longer really popping to the young crowd, the older people with money always want to go and party in Vegas, and they want to listen to music that resonates with them.
And that's what he was. That's what he was going for.
But unfortunately, because of whatever demons that he has inside of him, he wasn't able to let go of the stuff that he knew was going to eventually catch him. Like you got Michael Avenatti saying, hey, we got a VHS tape. Like he probably was sitting on that tape for months before he could find a VHS player. Like, I mean, really, what are we talking about here? So, I mean, like, when you're talking about the type of stuff that he was doing, not only was he a degenerate in the truest sense, you know, with regard to the urinating and doing all types of vile acts with these girls and multiple women at the same time, et cetera, but it was also the fact that he wanted to record it. So he wanted to be able to go back and look at it. So, like, that takes it to a whole nother level with regard to how bad this thing was to him. Because my thing is, hey, any different strokes, different folks, live your life, do whatever you want to. But if you're going to do something illegal, why the hell are you recording it?
Yeah.
Like, we get mad at these fake gangsters, these young kids nowadays, for making threats and whatnot on IG and Facebook and this, that, and the third. So R. Kelly's no different. Like, you really did the same thing. And as an OG, as an older person, you should know better. I don't care about whether or not you know how to read. You should know what the law is.
I got a question, though. Do you think him recording it was probably some way of extortion due to the fact that these girls were so young, they didn't know right from wrong or they didn't know the law, anything like that?
But, yeah, I'm going to say no, just because – you know, those girls had to have at least known that when they were sleeping with R. Kelly, hey, I'm sleeping with an adult and I'm a child. So I know that this is illegal. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to say no. I'm going to think that he just did it because, and one of the things that the reason I think that is because when I watched the documentary, One of the girls said that he basically brought him down there to his little love den or whatever. And she started crying because she thought that she was Kel's only chick. Mm. And he brought the chick in there to go, you know what I'm saying, do whatever. And the girl started crying. And Kels was upset because she was crying. He was like, what am I going to do with this as far as, like, my tape is concerned?
Yeah, I remember that scene.
So when she said that to me, that let me know, like, yo, I'm a director.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm orchestrating this, and this is for my personal pleasure later on. So I think it was definitely bigger than just being something where he was trying to make sure that he had something over on them. I think it was just for his personal satisfaction.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, I felt like it wasn't a back.
Yep.
I felt like it was kind of an extortion type thing.
I could see that being a part of it, though. Ian, what you think?
I'm going to jump in, and I'm only going to say this based off of talking to niggas in the streets.
Oh yeah,
when it comes to recording and recording your encounters, honestly, they're just reliving the experience. If it was for extortion or anything like that, it would have been out already. And he's never going to be the victim. It's always going to be the woman as the victim. So for him, it's just what I hear. People like to just relive their experience.
No, but I mean, fake extortion. We know he's not going to put it out, but if you threaten them with it, you know, it's like, okay, if you don't behave, I'll put this out. So them not knowing how the system or anything works, it's like, okay, I'm fearing him, so I'm going to have to be more submissive. You know what I'm saying? No, good and well, tell me I'll never put that out.
Yeah.
That's why it's true.
Yeah. Now, when you say that, I can definitely see it being used as a full way to control them even further. What you're saying?
Matter of fact, I keep forgetting they're young. They don't know too much.
Exactly. So. That's what I was getting at.
That's true.
Exactly.
Because when you have them doing acts that they know are, you know, vile and not your I shouldn't even say vile, but they're just not your traditional way of having sex. Mm-hmm. They're being urinated on and this type of stuff. That's like a level of freak that they don't want made public.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say, oh, I slept with R. Kelly. Whole another thing to say, R. Kelly, you know, pissed on me and had me eating another girl out. Like, that's a whole nother level of freak that they may not want to go public. So I could easily see him using that as a way to kind of control him further.
That's true. I didn't think about that. That's facts. Big facts.
Yeah.
Come get that nigga, though.
Then we got to talk about Mr. Robert Kraft, the other Robert K.
All right, so Robert Kraft got to sacrifice one of them rings, yo.
As far as the Robert Kraft thing is going on, I mean, like, it goes really deep, you know what I'm saying? Because now you're talking about sex trafficking and all that. So it's not just the situation with him paying for a prostitute or paying for a happy ending.
Yeah.
That, to be honest with you, like I said, I'm pretty sure that all of those rich big wigs are doing that whenever they go to Southern Florida.
Of course.
I think the thing is that, you know, when you're talking about sex trafficking, that there's such a horrible stigma to that, as it should be. But I'm saying this is like, you know, it makes what you're doing look way worse than if you were just paying for a prostitute. If you're paying for a prostitute, like, you know, it's the oldest tradition, you know, the oldest job, you know, profession in the world. It is what it is, and people don't pay much attention to it. But when you talk about sex trafficking, now that's a whole nother ball of wax, and it gets really murky. So he's going to be under the NFL conduct policy, which is obviously way stricter than the law.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he'll receive some type of suspension. It's embarrassing for the league.
Franchise.
It's obviously embarrassing for the Patriots. And it's a bad look all the way across the board.
The crazy thing is, when you look at guys like Robert Kraft, you see stuff like that all the time. Whether it's, you know, a bunch of white men that go to a sauna and they have their little circle jerk or whatever, and they all just high five it and stuff. And it's just a whole, you know, like you said, Adrian, a billionaire type thing. It's just that Kraft is the biggest name in that circle.
Right.
Right.
And the reason that his name is popping is because his team is winning.
You
going back and forth with the NFL on certain issues. You're glad-handed with Meek Mill, and you're trying to change prison reform. and Meek Mill is giving you a chain to represent his new album coming out, which you're responsible for that happening and getting him out of his legal situation. So, you know, when you start adding stuff up, but you chilling with Jay-Z and you and Aaron Hernandez was cool and all this other stuff, man, it just they keep track of this stuff. And they're looking for opportunities to bury people who don't fit the mold that you know what I'm saying, that they want. He does.
I mean,
quiet as kept.
I'm not going front. I think I love my Caucasian brothers and sisters, but I think that community is gonna find a way, but I think naturally they're gonna sympathize for him sooner or later. I mean, we all know his wife passed away back in 2011 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, about possible.
Yeah, his wife passed away a while ago, and you know, like I don't feel like there's much heat on it. I think it's just a big deal. But no one's outraged. Like that's the thing. I'm seeing. No one's actually outraged. They're just like, oh,
because
it's
this is
a big deal. But there's no one's outraged.
This because, like I said, it's just a name. This behavior that Robert Kraft, you know, brought to our attention, it's normalized. That's definitely normalized amongst millionaires and billionaires. You know what I'm saying? And who knows? Years before his wife even died, he probably was doing this. It's just the old white man that you see doing this with a whole bunch of others. Like, who knows? Probably back in like 2009, him and Trump was probably out there in Florida getting it in with some other.
100. Uh-huh. I mean, like 100%. That's most likely. That's probably how they became close. The opportunities for them to come together, just it always seemed funny. Like, why? Why are you and Trump involved with each other? Like, how did y'all your paths cross other than being involved with most likely prostitutes?
True.
Y'all are comfortable with that lifestyle. Y'all, that's how y'all get down. And, you know, y'all probably became close because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of how it happened, at the end of the day, what you did is vile and it's heinous in the sense that sex trafficking is involved. I think people would be a lot more comfortable with it if they knew that it wasn't a situation where, you know, sex trafficking was involved. If it was something just as simple as, hey, he paid for a happy ending. Hey, it is what it is. The man's 77 years old. At this point, let's just be happy he can get it up.
That's right.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. I mean, in my honest opinion, I don't think, like, I'm aware just of this is how a lot of men their age bond. I mean,
exactly.
This is how they almost, and it's fucked up. But I'm gonna tell you guys the honest truth. This is how they kind of build trust within each other. Like, mm-hmm. if you can keep this small, dirty little secret, then I don't mind telling you what's going on in the politics world or in this world or in that world. Like, it's like, these are debt, sex and other things are, and money are small grounds to build trust. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Robert Kraft and President Trump built this little trust this way through, you know, little shit like, I mean, not little shit, but things like this. So,
just, yeah, because it is little. They're billionaires. So these things are very small to them.
And let's keep the key word here. The key word here is sting. Which means, like, they got set up. Like, they were going to continue about their business. Like, nothing happened. But he got caught twice. I mean, they have
video. Somebody was in the middle of it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. Yeah. So, it's like, it's a sting. I mean, during Super Bowl weekend here in Atlanta, Thursday night, they had 50 people already arrested. Thursday night. Weekend hadn't even started yet. But Thursday night, they arrested 50 people here. So, it's a thing. Like, people are looking for it. They're hot for it. So, you know, but
I think that's good. You know what I'm saying? This is obviously part of the Me Too movement with everything that's been going on in the zeitgeist. I think that people are changing their views and their outlook towards sexual trafficking and not homosexuality, but prostitution, et cetera, even homosexuality, to be honest with you. And I think those things are changing the way that people are looking at the world. And, you know, change is good.
Yeah, I mean, change is good. I mean, they're cracking down on it. And I'm happy about it. You know what I mean? I'm just happy there's more of attention to it, because at the end of the day, there are minors being involved here, and that's where it kind of cuts the thread a little tight. So, yeah.
No question. Not to mention, I'm saying, even the grown women, the women who are of age, they're still being forced into it. They're still being, you know, beaten and you know, beaten up and all kinds of crazy stuff. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? To have that, you know, out there so that people can be more mindful about how they move and how they handle that type of stuff, and stepping away from that type of living, I think is a good thing.
Yo, man, Jerry Jones, man, stay off the cameras, Jerry. Stay your ass at home.
Oh, Jerry's next. Jerry's next. I swear to you, Jerry's next. He's probably paying somebody off right now. That was probably the day Jerry missed his flight.
That's Cowboys fan starts talking crazy about Jerry Jones, that it's time to end the podcast. And it's
that was probably the day Jerry missed his flight.
But it fact matter. Wow. Okay. So Adrian Sports here. Y'all can follow me on ALSSR Instagram, and Adrian L. Stewart Sr. on Facebook. And give me your information, man.
You can follow me on Facebook at Charles Williams. I'm the only private Charles Williams with a Yankee photo as my icon. And you can follow me on Instagram at 1of4_14.
See, Anthony and Adrian are not real niggas. They don't know their Facebook URLs. My Facebook URL is facebook.com/Ian .507. So you ain't no trying to search for brother. All you gotta do is type in the